Good afternoon and welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Yes, we had higher grains in the trade today, but a lot of influence that has weighed in on that. We know we had a crop progress report yesterday that saw the drop in what was the wheat quality, but add to it, we're going to talk about the fun buying spree that's been happening in the wheat. What's going on with corn in Brazil? Beans, are they just kind of following along on the coattails? We've got a lot to unpack today in today's program as Heather Ramsey joins us. She is with the ARC Group. And let's just talk about the fact that wheat again today is the leader. 2 days in a row. Wonder if we can make it a trifecta tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I think the whole market kind of reacted a little bit surprised to see the uptick continue. Initially overnight, there was a little bit of a neutral to slightly lower fuel to the market. And then once we opened, just this continuation of momentum for wheat. You know, we're seeing good to excellent ratings drop again for U.S. wheat conditions. And as much as like planting progress is looking decent in the row crops, that condition drop in U.S. wheat piggybacked with what's going on from a hot, dry standpoint in Russian and Ukrainian wheat growing areas. That kind of all just brought the funds together and they thought, you know, we're going to do a little buying back of some of these short positions. And that's what they did yesterday. They carry over and continue to do that today. So really just a cleaning up of some of those shorts. That momentum in wheat then has since kind of trickled over from a managed money standpoint, continued to buy back those wheat contracts, corn contracts, soybean contracts. We're seeing some buying back into the soy complex as well. So yeah, just kind of an overall managed money momentum continuation, which is nice. I mean, and you're right, this is 2 days in a row, which is surprising for a lot of us. And so I think everyone's kind of wondering, has this been enough to warrant a third day? Pretty strong close today, especially when you're looking at Kansas City wheat. There is definitely potential to see that continue overnight and into tomorrow.
So just a logistics question. How many times recently have we seen wheat continue to be the leader like this and drag corn along for consecutive days in a row like this?
Yeah, very unusual here in recent trading. We do have kind of one day, I believe it was last week or the week before, where wheat was kind of the momentum and it was pulling everything with it. Previous to this, you know, in the last few years, what we've seen is wheat doing the exact opposite. Unfortunately, wheat has been dragging us lower, quite often here. So this change, this turnaround, there's been a lot of experts talking about, wheat will bottom out first when you start looking at what's going on in, grains and oil seeds. A lot of discussion about wheat kind of bottoming out first, putting in our lows first, and then catching a bid because of some supply issues. And we are finally seeing the supply discussion happen. And so I think there's definitely, you know, there's a definite need to kind of watch what's going on with wheat. If it's going to continue to rally and have some momentum here, that's a great sign, great news for the whole grain complex. And that would include our corn market as well. So definitely want to keep an eye on what's going on with wheat.
So Heather, when you talk about the wheat bottoming out, I know it's kind of hard to look in your globe of futuralities, but what are we looking at? A huge drop? Enough that it brings attention to the market?
Well, I definitely think we go back and it looks like from a chart standpoint, we have seen our springtime lows is what it kind of looks like. And I would call that more of like a late winter, early spring lows. Right now, when we're looking at Kansas City wheat, new crop Kansas City wheat, you know, we're seeing, we're probably within, you know, 10, 20 cents, where we would consider a little bit of resistance here on the new crop, side of things. If you go and you look at, Chicago wheat, same kind of thing, where probably, we're actually probably closer on the Chicago wheat, side of things. Than we are in Kansas City, but we're definitely seeing those lows happening early March, and it looks like at this point in time we've kind of solidified that as our low. We've put in a little extra support, probably about 30, 40 cents higher than what that low was, and now we're on the upward move where we're going to be looking to break through resistance levels, and that's going to need to be driven by more supply concerns, more supply issues, more weather concerns kind of all around the northern hemisphere. And right now those are set up to really be supportive. So we'll see if that continues. From a hot, dry standpoint, that's helping the wheat market move higher. Crop conditions are helping the wheat market move higher. There is some rain forecasted in the western parts of the Midwest and the northern and central plains. If that does not pan out, that's really going to be detrimental to this U.S. Crop condition rating for winter wheat.
There's a lot weighing on whether this rain comes in or not this next weekend. But it looks like dry as well in areas of Russia and Ukraine. They keep kind of popping up from a wheat perspective in market talk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just a super, super dry, above normal temperatures. They're, I haven't seen a condition rating on them lately, but I know there's a lot of chatter about how poor the wheat looks. How poor the germination rate on their spring wheat potentially either is or is kind of predicted to be. So they're in almost a worse situation, I think, from reading the news, from reading the headlines and kind of the reports that are out there. They appear to be in a much worse situation than we are in. And we know we're dropping significant points week over week here for the last 3 weeks in a row on condition rating in the U.S. So we're dropping significant points week over week. They've got some of the worst kind of drought and heat setup that they've had recently here. It's just not good. It's just not good for wheat. And on top of that, we also have, it's not like we are having issues with wheat while everybody else is fine. We've had massive droughts and issues with production.
Stick around. The Channel Final Bell will continue after this on the Rural Radio Network.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
KRVM.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Our conversation continuing this afternoon with Heather Ramsey. She is with the ARC Group. And of course, during the commercial break, we got talking weather. And Heather, I think weather has just, it's that time of year where it just kind of takes center stage around comments, not only from just farmers and growers and producers all talking, but from the market standpoint as well, as they watch what happens. And we were talking about this wheat and the concern that's there if we should get this rain, which it does need, but it also brings with it the chance of some serious fungal issues, which then will take away some yield potential for us.
Yeah, there's definitely some concerns there. Wheat is in that jointing phase right now, so definitely, it's a higher priority to get the rain, for sure, because we're approaching heading. So we definitely need the moisture, need it to happen at this point in time. But yeah, because of the conditions out there right now, if we get too much with cold temps and it stays damp for long periods of time, we can potentially be looking at some fungal issues. And everybody knows that with wheat, it's just such a sensitive crop that any sort of setup to have any sort of disease issue is going to cause pressure on yield. We've seen this happen numerous times over the years. And so I think that is definitely some concern. The moisture that comes in is also going to be a little bit then cooler is the forecast right now. And that kind of sets up some potential issues. That stripe rust, which if anyone's been paying attention to what's going on in South America, that's also something that they're dealing with in their corn crop, though, specifically. So there's definitely some concerns. It's kind of a catch-22. This is, you know, you and I were talking about that. It's like you want the moisture because we know how dry it's been out here, the western Midwest and in the plains. But, like, maybe not all at once. maybe not for, you know, 10 plus days at a shot. So it's kind of this catch 22. Unfortunately, we want the moisture. It'd be nice if we could get, you know, a couple of days with the like some warmer, sunny breaks in between. But the way the forecast looks, that's not what we're pegging. I think what else is interesting to mention about the weather here too is this is a new setup for the market. We've actually got the EU and GFS releasing forecasts at the same time. This is the first spring that they're coming out the same time with these forecasts. So the market's kind of digesting things a little bit differently. We've seen some reactions. You know, one release, they'll be reacting more heavily to what the EU forecast is. The next release, they'll be reacting more heavily to what the GFS has done. They really look for alignment with these releases. You know, are the forecasts aligned? Did they both get wetter? Did they both get drier? When they're changing or moving in opposite predictions away from each other is then when we see these kind of blips in accelerated trade, I guess, during the day. And that's kind of what we had here today, is we had some differentiation between what the EU and the GFS was seeing as far as weather predictions go. So we'll see who kind of wins in the end. Obviously, we always have to live through it to see what happens. But right now, both of them do have prolonged periods of wet and cool weather. One has a little bit longer period of time there. If that's what pans out, then like we said, there's some issues there for wheat potentially on the table. And then that obviously slows down planting progress when you look at corn and soybeans across the Midwest. And as much as we're not behind, we're also not ahead right now. We're kind of just right on what the typical, you know, 5-year average looks like for both corn and soybean plantings. So, you know, putting a stop or a hold on things for, you know, 7 to 10 days, that then really does put us in a spot where we're a little bit further behind than where maybe we normally are once we get back to it. So that's really what the trade is looking at. They're looking at, you know, are forecasts the same or are they deviating from each other? And then how much of a stop does this put on, you know, Midwestern seeding at this point in time? So you know what we're looking for now.
I was going to say, you brought up an interesting point, though, during the break, too, about all this disease concern and weather concerns is having some hindrance on what we see coming out of South America, too, right now.
Yeah, for sure. There's some information confirmed, or I should say presented to the market, to the marketplace, to the public today from Brazil. All along, CONAB has been saying the Brazilian corn crop is smaller. And smaller than last year, I should say. And USDA hasn't made quite as many of those changes. But then today it was confirmed that the acreage numbers due to the reduction in second crop corn planting looks like it's about 10% lower than last year. So that has to do with weather, with drought, not getting enough moisture to keep to warrant putting a second crop in. And then if you look at over in Argentina, there was some stripe rust issue going on in their corn crop as well. And they think that that's going to affect yield.
What is the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can definitely check us out online at agrisconsulting.net or give us a call here. I can be reached very easily. Any one of us are more than happy to have a discussion and chat through kind of what we're thinking for strategy and ways that we can help you manage risk on the farm.
All right, that is today's Channel Final Bell, being brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.